There. So reading from Canto 6th, Chapter 5, and text number 1.
Shri Shukh Uvacha. Tasyam sapanchajanyam vai Vishnu payap bhringhitah Haryashva samgyana ayutam Putran ajanyad vibhu.
Shri Shukha Uvacha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, impelled by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, Prajapati Daksha begot 10,000 sons in the womb of Panchajani Akshini. My dear king, these sons were called Hariyashvas. So there is no purport to some of these verses. So we'll continue to read the translation. My dear king, all the sons of Prajapati Daksha were alike in being very gentle and obedient to their orders of their father. When their father ordered them to beget children, they all went into western directions. In the west, where the river Sindhu meets the sea, there is a great place of pilgrimage known as Narayana Saras. Many sages and other advanced in spiritual consciousness live there. In that holy place, the Hariyashvas began regularly touching the lakes, waters and bathing in them. Gradually becoming very much purified, they become inclined towards activities of Paramahamsas. Nevertheless, because their father had ordered them to increase the population, they performed severe austerities to fulfill his desires. One day, when the great sage Narada saw those boys performing such fine austerities to increase the population, Narad Muni approached them. The great sage Narada said, "My dear Hariyashvas, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. There is a kingdom where only one man lives, and where there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges. A woman there who is extremely unchaste adorns herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions. A wonderful home made up of 25 material, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made up of sharp razor and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create progeny?" Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni saw that the boys known as Hariyashvas were already purified because of living in a holy place and were practically ready for liberation. Why then should they be encouraged to become entangled in family life, which is so dark that one having entered in it, one cannot leave it? Through this analogy, Narad Muni asked them to consider why they should follow their father's order to be entangled in family life. Indirectly, he asked them to find within the core of their hearts this situation of Supersoul, Lord Vishnu, for then they will be truly be experienced. In other words, one who is too involved in his material environment and does not look within the core of his heart is increasingly entangled in illusory energy. Narad Muni's purpose was to get the sons of Prajapati Daksha to divert their attention towards spiritual realization instead of involving themselves in the ordinary but complicated affairs of propagation. The same advice was given by Prahlad Maharaj to his father. Tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sada samugnvignadiyama satgrahat hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gato yadharima ashrayeta. In the dark well of family life, one is always full of anxiety because of having accepted a temporary body. If one wants to be free himself from this anxiety, one should immediately leave family life and take shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Narad Muni advised the Harishwas not to enter household life, since they were already advanced in spiritual knowledge. Why should they be entangled in that way? Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to beg permission and blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can glorify Bhagavatam and speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam. So as we hear, we are reading that Daksha Prajapati, he prayed to Lord Vishnu that he could populate this world. So Lord Vishnu, he gave him that power, and because to populate this world, that Maya Shakti is required. So that's why he provided that strength and bewildered Daksha Prajapati. And he thought that this procreation or sex life is the way. So now, as we are reading here, so he begot 10,000 sons, and they were named Harishwas. And then he told them to populate this world. But as we see, when they were told that they should procreate, so what they did, that they went to western side where there was a river Sindhu meeting the sea and started performing austerity. So this is amazing. Like, as we see in Vedic culture, somebody is told to do something, the first thing is that he goes to a place where he performs austerities and become qualified. But nowadays, if somebody is told that you should procreate, so immediately a person will, start finding which girl I should marry, or he will make some material arrangements, get a job, and get a house. So if he is told to procreate or populate, then he will arrange. But here we are seeing that Harishwas, they went for performing austerities. And in same case also we see Prachetas also. So Prachini Parishad, he told that you should become the king and you should get married and procreate. So immediately they went to forest for performing austerity. So that is the difference. Sometimes in modern society people say that if he is very childish, get him married so that he will get mature. But the modern society does not understand this marriage is not just a plaything, just meant for sex and producing children like cats and dogs. A marriage has a higher purpose for that. So that in Vedic culture, the Shastras, they say that how the marriage is. Only that person should get married who has sufficient intelligence. And a person who is intelligent, who knows what is Shastras. Shastra can give him proper directions, proper knowledge. But unless until one has, one doesn't have that knowledge, and one doesn't know the purpose of married life, then he may think that this marriage is just for sex enjoyment and producing children like cat and dog, eat, drink and be merry. That's all. So in this way here, this is an example. And here as we see that Narad Muni just spoke them few allegorical example he gave them. And he said that actually you have seen nothing in this world. So you don't know about, like he mentions, a man, a lonely man with a kingdom. And then he said there is a hole. When one enters, he doesn't come back. Then he mentions about a woman who is a prostitute. And then he mentions about a husband of the woman. And then he says there is a river which is flowing both sides. And then he mentions about a house of 25 elements. And then he mentions about a swan who is making sounds. And then he explains about the there is a physical object which has sharp blades like razors and thunderbolt and which is rotating. And then Narad Muni asks that actually you are not following the order of your father. So in this way he just, you know, just gives that. And if one sees that there is one man with a kingdom and there is a hole which nobody can come out. If one goes, nobody can come out. A river flowing two sides. And then an unchaste woman, and that unchaste woman has a husband. If one says this, nobody will understand. But here we see that the Hayeshwars, they were so intelligent because they were completely purified. They could understand what it means. And immediately left, and they left for spiritual life. So as Prabhupada says that there are four categories of people. So one who is intelligent, one he hears and he acts upon it. But the second class person is one who hears and sees and then learns. And the third class person is one who hears, sees and undergoes that experience. Through experience, he learns. That is a third class person. And the fourth class person is he sees, he hears, he learns, and again commits the same mistake. That is, he is the fourth class person. So that's why here we see that Narad Muni is so perfect preacher. He is preaching accordingly. He was saying that they are already purified, so they don't need much preaching. So that's why here also we see that for example, in Pune, IIF, they preach to only engineering college students who are IITs and REC, like that. And here also, we try to go to some engineering college, medical college, and we give less importance to. In fact, we are preaching everywhere, but the thing is that because they have some intellectual level and Krishna consciousness is understood by those intelligent class of people. So that's why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Krishna Bhakta Sei Chatur. One who is intelligent, he accepts this Krishna consciousness very easily. So I was thinking that in the subsequent verses, what is this is explained, and in subsequent verses, devotees will explain more further. Just I will give the synopsis of this. So one man with a kingdom is that that kingdom is compared to a spiritual world, and the man that is compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the enjoyer, the sole enjoyer of the total creation, spiritual as well as this manifestation, material manifestation. And then this whole Bila is also compared to the spiritual world, and here it says that when one goes into that hole, he never returns back. So similarly, it is that spiritual world. When one goes to the spiritual world, he never returns back. Natad bhasayate suryo na shashanku na pavaka yad gatva na nivartante tad dhama paramam. So Krishna also says that one who comes to my abode, then he doesn't have to come back again to this material world. And there is mention of woman who is a prostitute. So that is our contaminated intelligence, which is under the three modes of material nature. So we see that when the intelligence is contaminated, is unsteady because of the modes, this intelligence is not fixed upon one thing. And in the material world, we see that people are, you know, in different, their minds are on different things. Intelligence is, they put their intelligence in different things. And then, and what is their goal when their intelligence is not fixed? That fruitive activities. So in this world, we see that all the karmis, they are working very hard so that they can get some sense enjoyment. So immediate benefit, prayers. And then there is explanation of a man, who is the husband of this prostitute, and that is the living entity ourself. So when, like it is here, Prabhupada says that when one is a husband of a prostitute, then he loses all independence. He loses everything. Similarly, we have lost everything to our contaminated mind and our intelligence, and we have lost our independence. And by the three modes of material nature, we are tossed up and down, sometimes to heavenly planet, sometimes to hellish planet, or to some different species of life. And then the fifth, he says about the river flowing in the both directions. So this this river flowing in the both directions is compared to the material nature. So there is creation and there is dissolution. So this material world, bhutva bhutva pralyate. So it is, this material world is created and again annihilated. So that's why this this world is compared to the river, which is flowing both sides. And the living entity is in this river, you know, tossing up and down, because the current is so turbulent, because the river is flowing from both sides. So that's why this world is also compared to the ocean. So that's why Vrindavan Das Thakur says that samsarera pare haite bhaktira sagara je dubave bhajoka nitai chantera. So this is samsara, this is the ocean where it's very turbulent and a living entity is tossed up and down, suffering this material world. But again there is another ocean, bhaktira sagara, ocean of bhakti rasamrita sindhu. And je dubave bhajoka nitai chantera, one who wants to drown in that ocean of nectar, then he has to worship Nityananda Prabhu. So in this way, the sixth analogy he gives about the house with 25 elements, that is this material world. This material world is of 25 elements, that is 10 karmendriyas, gyanendriyas, and then 8 elements, and then pradhana. So all it comes to 24 elements. And then there is a swan who is making beautiful sounds, and that sound is compared to the Vedic literatures. So through Vedic literatures we understand that who is our supreme father. We come to know, and we can, by through Vedic scriptures, we can discriminate what is matter and what is spirit. And then the eighth, he says about the physical object, which is very sharp and has a sharp blades and like razor or thunderbolt. So this thing is compared to time. So time is also very sharp. So also Prabhupada says that now this moment, if it goes, no rich person in this world, he can buy. He can buy everything in this world, but he cannot buy a time which is gone. So it is like this razor and thunderbolt, very sharp. So now Narad Muni is saying to Hareshwars that actually you are not following your father order. So here he is not referring Daksha Prajapita, Prajapita Daksha, because he ordered them to procreate. But here is referring to the Shastra. Shastras are our real father. So he is saying that you are not obeying the Shastras, who is your real father. So that's why you should give up everything and should not get entangled in this material world and go to the forest and attain liberation. So in this way we see that how Narad Muni is expert in preaching each and everybody. And now in other episode also we see that when the Daksha, again he begets 1,000 children, that is called Shalvas. What their name? Yeah, Shalvas, right. So he just tells them that you just follow your brothers, elder brothers. And they just go. He doesn't have to preach much. He said you just follow your brothers. And they started, you know, for liberation. They never came back. So in this way, Daksha was very, you know, he said that what is this? You know, you made all my sons brahmacharis. So he became very angry and cursed him. So, as Krishna says that nachatasman manushyesho kaschin me priya krittama bhavitascha me tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. So Krishna is in Bhagavad Gita, he says that one who preaches the message, my message, he is very, very dear to me. That's why we see that Narad Muni is so dear to Krishna that any time he can have the audience of Krishna. He can go to any place. He requires no visa. He can go anywhere, anytime. What he is doing is that he is Narada. His name is Narada. He is giving Krishna to everyone. One who gives Narayan, he is called Narada. So that's why his name is Narada. He is giving Narayan to everybody. And that's why we see that how he is expertly preaching. And throughout Bhagavatam, we see that Narad Muni preaching to different devotees. The first preaching is to Srila Vyasadeva. So Narad Muni could immediately detect that why Vyasadeva is not satisfied. And he said that now you should glorify Supreme Lord directly and write this Srimad Bhagavatam. Inspired him like that. And after that he preached to Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was so much attached. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his grandfather. So he was burning. He was hissing like a serpent when he was insulted by his stepmother. So he said, I will take revenge. And then when he went out in the forest, and Narad Muni heard this news that Dhruva Maharaj, a mere five-year-old boy, is wanting to perform austerity and want to see the Supreme Lord. Then he came and he started, telling him that you are just mere child and you should not take this so seriously. And do you know that how much, it's not so easy to obtain the audience of Supreme Lord. You have to undergo so much of austerity. And by three modes of material nature, this sometimes you will get miseries and happiness. So this you should accept. And now you are a child, you just go home and play. And when you are matured enough, when you are older, then you can, you will be able to perform all these austerities. But Dhruva Maharaj said that, no, I am so much filled with ignorance and passion that this, your beautiful words are not penetrating my heart. So Narad Muni tested him and immediately initiated him and gave the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. And then Dhruva Maharaj attained his perfection. And especially the classic case of Prachini Barhi, he was so much into fruitive activities. He was performing so many yajnas and killing so many animals. So Narad Muni taking mercy on Prachina Barhi, he came and he started narrating an allegorical story. He gave a story of a Puranjan. And generally, people like to hear stories, adventurous stories. So he was very attentive hearing this story. And at the end of the story, he came to know that Puranjan is himself. Then he said, this Puranjan is myself and I am engaged in whatever result he is getting, that means I am going to get in future. So in this way, Narad Muni preached Prachina Barhi and also made him into pure devotee. And then he preached in 8th canto, he preaches Chitraketu Maharaj. So Chitraketu Maharaj was also very much attached to having a son. So that time Narad Muni didn't preach him because he was so much attached that he wanted a son. So then he gave him that son. But later when that son died, then that time he came and he revived that son back, and through his mouth he preached King Chitraketu, and then he also became very pure devotee. Also Prahlad Maharaj was also a nice preacher, and he was also preached by Narad Muni. And Prahlad Maharaj was so matured that Narad Muni preached Prahlad Maharaj in the womb. And so when he came out, he was already a devotee. And then of course, we know this classic example of Mrigari. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Sanatana Shiksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is narrating this story to Sanatana Goswami, that how by just association of a pure devotee, a most low caste person can be liberated. So this Mrigari, he was killing animals half, and he was taking pleasure seeing them suffering. So Narad Muni went and he said that if you would have said that don't kill, then he would have protested. But in spite, Narad Muni said that why don't you kill them full? Why are you killing half? So in this way he became attentive to hear Narad Muni. And because Narad Muni is so exalted soul, by just seeing him, Mrugari, he became very frightened. And he offered, you know, his obeisances. And then Narad Muni preached to him and showed that how his killing is so bad, and he showed him that what is the reaction when one does these activities. And then he also converted him into pure devotee. So in this way we see in Bhagavatam about Jadabharat preaching to Rahuguna. So Jadabharat was carrying his palanquin, and Rahuguna was sarcastically, you know, making remarks. He was saying that, oh, you are so weak, you cannot carry this load, now you are fatigued. He was sarcastically saying this. But Jadabharat, he felt little bad, and he started preaching. That he said to him that, yes, what you are saying is right, because I am not this body. This body is weak and this body is tired. So immediately Rahuguna fell down from his palanquin and surrendered to Jadabharat, and he came to know that actually this Jadabharat is not an ordinary person. He is a self-realized soul. And immediately he took instructions from him. So in this way, we see that the great devotees, they are always engaged in preaching activities. Want to retrieve these souls from this material world. And the main purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming here is that. So when he sees that in Kali Yuga people are so fallen and they are not understanding the importance of spiritual life, then he takes that audarya bhav, that udar bhav. Swatantreshwar atyanta udar tare na bhajile na habe nistar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is independent, Swatantreshwar, and atyanta udar, he is so magnanimous in this age of Kali, and he comes, and he doesn't come as a supreme personality of Godhead, but as a devotee. So he's saying that apani karemu bhakta bhavi angikara apani acharya shikhamu bhakti shikhamu sabare. So is that apani karemu bhakta bhav, I will take that bhakta bhav, I will become a devotee, and apani acharya bhakti shikhamu sabare, and I will perform devotional service, and through this I will teach others how bhakti should be performed. So we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he didn't preach to, you know, those who were not so intelligent. He didn't preach them. He just gave them Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He said, just chant, and delivered them. But those who were scholars, like Prakashanand, Saraswati, Sarvam, Bhattacharya, to them he preached. And this the preaching to Prakashananda Saraswati is a classic example in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching to Prakashananda Saraswati. So in fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas and after some this South India yatra, he left to Vrindavan, and on his way he went to Varanasi the second time. The first time he was not successful. The second time when he was going to Vrindavan, he went to Varanasi, where he met Tapan Mishra, Chandrasekhar Acharya, and then Sanatana Goswami, he gave 2 months their siksha on Dashashwami Ghat. So after this episode of Sanatana Goswami, the two Vaishnavas, Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra, they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said, we cannot tolerate this Mayavadi sannyasis in criticizing you. They are saying you are bhavuk and you are just doing kirtan sentimentally, and they are offending you. So we cannot hear this often. So please do something, try to deliver them. So in the meantime, one Maharashtrian Brahmin, he comes and he invites the Lord for prasadam at his house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts this invitation. And then all the Mayavadi sannyasis, they also come. And they were seated there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also comes there. And generally the system is that when you enter some house, then you first wash your feet. And then after that, you enter the house. But similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and first he washes his lotus feet. And then he sits there on at the washing place. So immediately we can understand that how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like we make so many arrangements for Radha Gopinath, everything should be so clean. And everything, temple and especially the altar should be so clean. But here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is Krishna himself, but he is sitting where people wash their feet. And then immediately he wanted to attract all these Mayavadi sannyasis. Because they were attracted to the impersonal Brahman. So he showed that impersonal light emanating from him. So immediately they were awestruck with seeing that. And immediately they got up and started gave respects to him. And then they said that, why you are sitting there? You please come with up. So this Prakashananda Saraswati, he takes the hand of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and takes him. And that time Prakashananda Saraswati asked that, why you are not associating with us? You are also sannyasi, you are from Bharati Sampradaya. So you should come and you should associate with us and study Vedanta. So he says that Prabhu kai ami hai hina sampradaya. Tumar samar sabai vasite na yuyai. So he says that I am from a lower sampradaya, I am from Bharati sampradaya, you are all from Saraswati sampradaya. So I am not qualified to sit amongst you. So in this way, the first principle Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching, that how one should be very, very humble while preaching. And so he didn't mind to sit at unclean place. And generally, he saw that these Mayavadis are very puffed up. So they have big, big titles like Tirtha, Saraswati and this. So they are very proud of their learning and their titles. So first of all, he wanted to make them humble. So he said that I am so unqualified to sit amongst you because I am from lower sampradaya. So immediately they understood that that this humility is very, very important. We should be also humble. We should not be proud of having big titles. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed Prakashananda Saraswati to extend his hand, so he gave him that Ajna Sukruti. Similarly, in this way also we should preach. First of all, when we preach to others, first of all, we should be very, very humble. We should not think that I have the best philosophy, so I can bombard it on anybody. I can defeat anybody. So our purpose is not to defeat them, but to make them convinced about the philosophy and make them Krishna Bhakta. And generally, a person is not so much inclined to hear. So that's why, first of all, we have to create some Ajna Sukruti. If that Ajna Sukruti is not there in that, then he will not be, he will not listen. So by giving him prasad or becoming humble, somehow or other engaging him in devotional service, that will give him some Ajna Sukruti. And by that Ajna Sukruti, then he will be able to understand what we are going to speak. Otherwise, we see that when we are very new to the philosophy, we come in ISKCON and we are very neophyte, and we hear something and then go out, we tell the same thing to our friends and our relatives, and we want that everybody should become like us. So now I have accepted, I have changed my life, so now in this way all the world should change because I have changed. So in this way, he goes and then he gets severely defeated. Nobody is ready to hear him. So he becomes completely morose. So because of that, you know, he is not so mature. And the atheistic or karmis, they don't have that sukruti. They are not so much inclined to hear Krishna Katha. So here we are seeing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first created that Ajna Sukruti in the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati. And then he started speaking. So he is first saying that that Suno Shripad Ihara Karan Guru Moro Murkha Dekhi Karila Sakshan. So he Prakashananda Saraswati asked that why are you not studying this Vedanta Sutra? So he says that actually Guru Moro Murkha Dekhi, that my spiritual master saw me that I am a fool number one. So he said that Tuma Nahi Vedanta Dika Krishna Mantra Japa Sada E Mantra Sar. So told me that you are a fool, so you have no adhikar or you have no ability to understand this Vedanta Sutra. So that's why you should only chant Krishna's holy name. And he tells that how his guru taught him this Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Kevalam, Kalo Nastev Nastev Gatran, this shloka. So now that's why my guru has told me, so I am chanting this. So in this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to again prove that point that one should be a fool in front of guru and accept guru's order as it is and should not speculate. And he wanted to also make the point that in Kali Yuga everybody is a fool and cannot understand Vedanta Sutra because it is so high. So in Kali Yuga the best method is chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So in this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached Prakashananda Saraswati about the importance of Pancham Purthartha Purusharth, that is Krishna Prem. So in this way Mahaprabhu was talking to them so sweetly. Like here it is said that Prabhuram Mishta Vakya Suni Sanyasiragan Chitta Firigela Kahe Madhura Vachan. So Mishta Vakya. So Mahaprabhu, you know, was speaking so sweetly to Prakashananda Saraswati, and by that sweet talk, you know, they completely, you know, Firigela man, they completely got converted, and then they said, Je kichu kahi tumi sava satya hoy Krishna prema se pai jai bhagya jai. Says that whatever you are saying is true, and one who has that Krishna prem, he is a most fortunate soul. So in this way, so we should, you know, our words should be very very sweet. We should not be harsh with people while we are preaching. So we should be patient and we should be very soft speaking. So in this way, by our humility, by soft speech, their heart will get converted. So in this way, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an expert preacher. He preached, he went to South India, he told Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to write books, establish temples, and find out the sites of Krishna in the holy dham. In this way. So in this way he expertly preached. He taught us how we should preach, how one should be expert in preaching. And then Sanatana Goswami, as he says to Haridas Thakur, that Apane Achare Keha Nakare Prachar, Prachar Kare Na Keha Nakare Achar, Achar Prachar Namera Karha Dui Kaya, Tumi Sarva Guru Tumi Jagate Rarya. So here he is saying that who is a true preacher? That some people, you know, achar kare keha nakare prachar. They may be following the principles in their own life. They may be doing spirituality, but they may not be preaching this message. And prachar kare keha nakare achar. Somebody may be preaching, but in his own life, he is not. But Sanatana Goswami is saying to Haridas Thakur that Achara Prachara Namera Dui Karya. You are actually chanting the holy name and also you are preaching to others to chant the holy name. That's why Tumi Sarva Guru Tumi Jagate Rarya. That's why you are qualified to become Jagat Guru. You are qualified, perfect preacher, because you are doing Achara and prachar. So in this way, we see that all the great sages, they want that we should come out of this material entanglement and go to the spiritual world. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, also we see in his life that how there was a brahmachari who left because of some problem, and that was there was an opening of the temple, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said to devotees that I want that devotee. He said that you don't know that how much energy and blood is, you know, to make one devotee, so I cannot lose that devotee. So fortunately he was a watchmaker, so they found out, they searched all the Calcutta, you know, watch shop, and in one watch shop he was found, and he got that brahmachari bag. And similarly we hear that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, you know, he got one of his disciple from the marriage ceremony and gave him sannyas. He went, there was, he was getting married, and before that marriage he went and he caught and he got him to the mutt, and his name is Sadhu Maharaj, and there is a very beautiful song written by him in his Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. He was, so in this way we see that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj is ready to go to the marriage ceremony and picked him up, brought him. So here he says that Sadhu Maharaj, he is writing a very nice poem on that. So he says that Sri Krishna bhajite nahi chahe mati, vishay bhogete prabala sakati. Vishayra asha nahi chhade man, vishayate sadadhai. So he says that I have no inclination to worship Krishna, and always my mind flows towards sense object to enjoy. And vishera asha nahi chhademan, and this mind is not giving that enjoying propensity. Vishete sada dhaya, and always running towards sense object. So just like a worm in the stool, if you remove that worm from the stool, and again that worm will crawl back to that stool. So that is our position. So the great acharyas, the gurus, they want us to get away from this stool like sense enjoyment. But again our mind flows back to that stool. So Krishna dasya bhule mayara bhajinu apana swarupa kabhuna chintinu virupe swarupe bhavi mudaman mayate akrishta hoy. So he says that I am Krishna das, but I am mayara bhajinu. I am Krishna das, but I am maya das now. Apana swarupa kabhuna chintinu, and I am not meditating on my real form that I am Krishna Das. I am from the spiritual world, not from this material world. Virupe swarupa bhavi mudaman mayate akrishta. And I am just attracted to something which is not useful. Virupa. Which is not at all beneficial for me. And I am very much attracted to doing that thing. And mayate akrishta. Am I always attracted? So in this way, there are very many verses in this. These were very striking. I like these two verses, so I wanted to present it. So in this way, we see that we are so much engrossed, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, you know, he got his disciple from the, you know, marriage ceremony and gave him sannyas. And also, we see that how Prabhupada also was an expert in preaching when he was preaching to reporters, or you know, like for example, once a car racer, he came to Prabhupada, and for 1 hour Prabhupada was just talking about car racing. He was talking about how in Calcutta also there is car racing, and this vehicle and that car, and ultimately after 1 hour the devotees were thinking, what is this, Prabhupada is speaking about this car, I never heard. And then in the end he came to the point that if you speed the car and your brake fail, what will happen? Then that person said, you will die. So that's why. Then he started from that, the death. Said, janma murutyu jara vyadi dukkam. So in this way. And then he preached him. So in this way, Prabhupada, and they were so merciful. And especially when he was dealing with Christianity. Anybody would ask about Christianity, first of all he would take that point, thou shall not kill. So he said that Jesus said that thou shall not kill, and why are you killing There are so many slaughterhouses. So in this way, anadi karma phale padi bhavar na vachale toribare na dekhi upaye. So we have fallen into this world because of anadi karma. Anadi means our karma has begun before the beginning of the creation. And toribare na dekhi upaye, and there is no solution how we can get out of this material world. And vishaya hala hale sudhabhane piyaye. And what we are doing is that we are drinking this poison of sense gratification, thinking that this is nectar. Karmakand, jnanakand, keval visharabhand, amruta boliya jeva khai. Narottam Das Thakur also says in Prem Bhakti that we are thinking that this is nectar. Actually, this is poison. And nana yoni phire kadarya bhakshan kare. Asat pathe jaye. He says that we are roaming into different species of life and we are eating all obnoxious thing, all something, you know, like if you become a hog, we have to eat a stool. Nobody will come and give Krishna prasad. So in this way, the great sages, they are so very compassionate. Especially I want to narrate, lastly I want to narrate this story of Vasudev Ghosh, who was so compassionate on living entity. So first he says that jivera dukha dekhi mora rudhai vidare sarva jivera papa prabhu deha mora shire. So he says that when I see all the living entities are suffering in this material world, I am not able to tolerate. So what you do is that sarva jivera papa prabhu mora deha shire. So you give all the sins of your this living entities on my head. And jivera papa lena mui kare narka bhog sakala jivera prabhu guchaha bhavarog. So he says that I will take the sins of all the these people and I will go to the hell and I will suffer for them. But you make them free from this bhavarog, give them liberation. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this, he could not, he starts trembling and he is so much into ecstasy and he could not speak proper words. And then he says that Krishna se satya kare chet mage bhrutya bhrutya vancha purna vina nahi anya kritya. So he says that Krishna, whatever you say, Krishna will fulfill, because Krishna wants only what his devotees want. So he always fulfills desire of his devotee. Brahmanda jevara tumi vanchila nistar vina papa bhoge have savara udhar. So he says that you have desired that all the living entities in this universe should be liberated, and actually you don't have to suffer this sinful for that. Vina papa bhoge hove sabara udhar. Without you being suffering, all the living entities will be liberated. Asamartana hai Krishna thare sarva bal tomake vakene bhunchaibe papa phal. She says that Krishna is not asamartha, or it is not that he is incapable of delivering the living entities. He can deliver that. And why he will make you suffer for other sins? Tumi jar hitavancha se haila vaishnav vaishnavara papa Krishna dura kare sab. So he says that because you have desired that this for the benefit of this living entity, they will 100% become vaishnav. And vaishnavara papa Krishna dura kare sab. So one becomes vaishnava, a devotee, all his sinful reactions are destroyed. So in this way, tumar ichha matra hobe brahmanda mochana sarva mukti karite krishnara nahi parishrama. So because you have desired to liberate all the living entities, so for this Krishna doesn't have to do a lot of struggle. Just by desire he can do. Eka audumbura vriksha lagi koti phale koti je brahmanda bhase viraje rajale. So he says that just he gives example just like an audumbar tree. There are so many fruits to that audumbar tree. And similarly, in the Karan Sagar, in the causal ocean, there are so many universes floating. Tar eka phala padet yadi nashta hoy tathapi vriksha nahi jane nija apachay. So in this way, if there are so many fruits on the tree and one fruit falls and is destroyed, so that tree has no, you know, loss. It doesn't think that, oh, it's loss. So similarly, there are so many unlimited universes, and if one universe is liberated, there is no loss to Krishna. So in this way, he says that, in fact, Sabha Brahmahanda Sahajadi Maya Haikshay Tathapi Na Mane Krishna Kuchu Apachay. So it says, in this way, if the whole Brahmanda, the material creation, is liberated and Maya is completely destroyed, all the living entities and the spiritual world, still for Krishna there is no loss. It is not that this material should be there. Like, for example, in the city, there is no need of prison house. But there are some criminals, that's why there is prison house. So in the city where there are no prison house, that is the ideal city. So in this way, because we are rebellious, we want to be in this material world, we are suffering. And our aim is to go back to spiritual world. So in this way, the great sages like Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, their only purpose is that how one should liberate this conditioned soul who are suffering. That's why they are always preaching. So that's why there is very beautiful quote of Prabhupada, how preaching is very, very important. That preaching is like a head of ISKCON. He says preaching is like a head of ISKCON, and if head is removed, the whole body dies. So ISKCON's head is preaching. So if we don't preach, then we are dead. Prana ache jar se hetu prachar. That means if we are preaching, that means we have life. A dead person cannot preach. So he says that preaching is the most important business, though my personal service is also important. The preaching work comes first. I want every one of our men to become first class preachers. Is there anything later to Pushta Krishna Prabhu? 1976. So that's why Jar Dekha Taraka Hai Krishna Upadesh Amaragya Hai Na Guru Taraka. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also instructed everybody that Jar Dekha, anybody you meet should instruct them. Tabu Tumara Na Badibhe Vishay Taranga Punarapi Eithai Pabu Morash Sangha. So in this way, by preaching, it is said that the best way of defense is offense. So if we preach, we will become more Krishna consciousness. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that punarapi na badibe vishay taranga, you will not be afflicted by sense enjoyment, you will not get attracted to sense enjoyment, and punarapi ithai pama mora sanga, and at the same place we can attain that Krishna prem. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj, any questions? Okay, it's already time 9:10. I don't want to make you can meet me personally. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.